Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Cozy, and I'm joined always by Wani B. What's up, brother? And today we're joined in studio again by special guest. What's up, Eric?
What up, man?
Thanks for joining us.
Dude, absolutely.
Yeah, man. And, as you guys can see now, we've actually parted ways with Maurice, the live studio ostrich.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. He
gave you nothing but love.
Nothing but love.
He abandoned us for greener pastures.
Yeah, we took him to the rice paddy. So, Maurice, wherever you are.
It doesn't really sound like he abandoned you then. It just sounds like you just took him somewhere and left him.
Well, he kind of wanted to leave, if that makes sense.
We'll just cut that.
It's one of those, if you ever watch, Harry and the Hendersons?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit of Harry. Yeah, remember at the end?
Except he did it to us.
Yeah, he threw rocks at us and told us to go away and run and never see him
again.
Can't
you see we don't want you anymore? But he really meant it. He actually did not want us anymore.
Yeah, so we parted ways with our live studio options. But no fear, listeners, we have something in the works that we think you guys would love. But anyway, Juan, what do we have on tap for today's show?
So, Cozy, today we start off with the good old, let's get some old trailer trash going.
Yeehaw.
Incorporated into that trailer trash, we have the couple of basically going hardcore with the superhero comic book stuff.
Yeah, Comic-Con was this past weekend.
We're going to go into a deep dive on Comic-Con.
It's the one in LA, right?
San Diego.
That's the one that matters every year.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to look at the trailers for Creature Commandos and Captain America Brave New World. But heavy focus on superhero and comic book stuff for this trailer trash. And then once we finish with that, we introducing a new segment. Cozy, why don't you give us the name? Give the viewers a little bit of a sneak peek.
Yeah, so coming to you guys at the end of this episode, we're introducing a new segment called Dirty Little Cinema, where we talk about movies that we love but we know that the world hates, so like it'll be us kind of sort of like to bring out maybe that weird obscure movie that we like but we know people find weird, or a movie that kind of sucks universally pan but like we happen to love it and can't get enough of it, so it's us kind of talking about it.
Yeah, guilty pleasure movies.
Guilty pleasure. So that's what that
Dirty Little Cinema is not porn related or adjacent. I just want to be absolutely clear on that.
Look, the focus group told us that early on.
This is what America wants, guys.
Yes,
this is not a rated X show. Look, I just want to make sure.
If it makes it on there, it is what it is. But yeah, I'm excited to bring out this new segment. But I guess what we got first, Juan.
So we're going into some trailer trash. All right. So starting off, big focus on comic books. We're starting off with Creature Commandos, new DC show.
Yep.
So, basic premise of the trailer, it kind of looks like literally animated Suicide Squad. It even has Weasel and Amanda Waller to let you know that the characters aren't entirely unrelated.
And it has a Flag, but like it's actually the
A Flag.
Yeah, so
it's
so
not
he's
the Rick Flag.
No, so he is actually
a different person of the Flag family.
Yes, so he's
a Flag. It's a person. Like, bro, I don't care if there's a flag in the show. Yeah, does that mean?
It's Rick Flag Sr. He's the father of Rick Flag that we saw in the Suicide Squad with James Gunn.
Yes, he's very dead.
Yeah, the very dead one, yes.
So my understanding is the same continuity as Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Okay, it does have, again, some of the same characters. Amanda Waller has gotten around. She's in that new Superman show, My Adventures with Superman, obviously in both the Suicide Squad movies. Seems to be one of the few characters from the old DC EU universe that's going into the new DC EU universe with James Gunn.
From Marvel, what's his name?
J. Jonah Jameson.
Not J. Jonah Jameson. That too, but he's the leader of the Avengers. Sam Jackson's character.
Yes, Amanda Waller is kind of. I just meant like crossing over from different. From different universes, so to speak.
Gotcha.
J. Jonah was the only character from the old school Marvel movies from Sony.
I feel like Hugh Jackman kind of did the same translation.
Hugh Jackman has, now that he's in this new Deadpool movie.
The new age Marvels.
So he's officially in the MCU. Before that, he hadn't been, though. Before that, it had always been a one continuous universe. Even Wolverine, technically, I think, had continuity.
Logan, yeah, Logan helped, but I don't think it really.
Well, really, it was Days of Future Past in 2014 that I kind of reset and put that timeline in place for Logan to happen. But yeah, Fox had a historically horrible kind of set of timeline issues that got fixed with that movie.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so Creature Commandos, going into it more, it's basically an odd ensemble cast put together by Amanda Waller to fight the bad guys who are even worse than they are. Very heavy Suicide Squad vibes.
Yeah.
You got some interesting characters. You got Frankenstein and his wife.
Yeah, Frankenstein by David Harbour, who's also in the Marvel Universe as Red Guardian.
That's good.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk, he's Dr. Phosphorus. Viola Davis, obviously, is Amanda Waller. Sean Gunn is G.I. Robot. Frank Grillo is Rick Flagg Sr. Maria Bakalova, she was the dog in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Yeah, okay. So she's Prince. She's in
Leica
this
or something.
Yeah. So it's a stat cast. Like,
yeah, it's a pretty solid cast. Yeah. Looks like it could be fun. I don't think we got a lot of details as to
not really
what they're gonna get into. It just seems really like it's a Suicide Squad, but animated in a TV show instead of a movie. Does that seem like a fair description?
Yeah. I'm not sure when they. I think I said it's coming out in October of this year. No, I'm sorry, in December of this year.
December. So I'm not too far from now.
Not too far away.
It looks like it could be fun.
Yeah,
it looks like it could be fun. I don't know if it's a must-watch, but if you've been enjoying, DC has had a strong track record with animated stuff.
Great in animation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their DC animation has had a very strong record. I think this is technically part of the actual DCU versus
the DC
animated universe always kind of being its own thing. But still something to look out for.
Yeah, you're still definitely
something
right.
to get a little bit hyped for. So second movie on our list, Captain America, Brave New World?
Brave New World. It had a lot of title changes, but this is the most recent.
Yes, this is the new one.
What was it supposed to be?
It was New World Order was the first one.
New World Order is kind of more of a conspiracy vibe.
Yeah, which I think this one kind of it's kind of in that whole.
Do you know what they're trying to set up for as far as this Captain America goes?
Well, really, we again.
I'm not even sure if at this point Marvel is setting up stuff.
Yeah, I think they're trying. Well, definitely they're trying to establish him as the new Captain America. We can see from the trailer,
dude. The wings and the shield, man. That's all I wanted in this movie.
I guess, like, off top, like, what y'all think of the teaser trailer for this?
I thought it looked great. So I feel like I have a different view from you two. Specifically, because I like Marvel movies, but they're not like
must watch.
I didn't really care about Marvel before this, and I don't really care about Captain America that much, or like Iron Man's cool, but I don't really care to like know more about his backstory.
Right.
Granted, I say this with Winter Soldier being, I think, my favorite Marvel movie.
It's one of the best ones.
It's my favorite one. And because I always thought Captain America was super hokey. My dad liked him, but it was just like in the comics, he was just like gung-ho America. It looked kind of, you know, novelty. Yeah.
I think what they did with Winter Soldier specifically, like kind of the Russo brothers, like kind of reinvented what Cap is. It kind of brought him to the modern age and kind of put him in that whole, it was whole that misinformation age, like, oh, who can we trust? Like, who can we trust? It was that Edward Snowden era where they really worked well in the Winter Soldier story. So, like, that was where they really
Jason
were able to.
Bourne era.
Yeah. They were really, really reinvent that character. And it started with Winter Soldier. So, yeah.
So, as someone who really grew up thinking Captain America was just a novelty joke superhero, I feel like they've come so far in that specific, like.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, this, I mean, even with this new one, like, I don't know. I'm gonna watch it. It looks cool. The I like Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford's just being grumpy.
Just being grumpy and old.
Recast from
William Hurt. He was the original
William Hurt.
Thunderbolt Ross.
Really?
Brother. Yeah, it's William Hurt. Yeah.
The guy who was, if you watch Civil War, he was kind of the U.S. guy in charge.
Oh, also, okay.
In the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, he was.
The Thunderbolt. The mustache?
Yeah, yes. Mustache.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's who it is. That's
who you're talking about.
So he's Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. So so obviously Harrison Ford has a little bit more personality. Obviously they put him more front and center.
Much bigger name. Yeah.
A much bigger name. Anthony Mackie is still kind of finding his way a little bit as Captain America.
Yeah, he's coming off of Falcon Winter Soldier.
How was that show?
I thought it was just all right.
Yeah.
I thought it was just okay. I wanted more out of it, but I did love, though, Bucky and Sam together, and also Sam's family, all that, with also Isaiah Bradley, who's in this movie. Like, all that stuff, but, like, overall...
Also kind of Captain Zemo, or...
Yeah, oh, Baron Zemo's great. Baron Zemo. I also like the Flag Smashers, that whole thing, but I think altogether the series, I wanted more out of it.
Were a kind of interesting idea, but they had such low charisma.
Yeah, it just didn't really.
I honestly forgot who they were.
It wasn't effective, but yeah. So coming into this one, I think he's trying to just establish himself as the, again, in the trailer you said, hey, I'm not Steve Rogers, and they're right, you're not, dude. You caught me off guard. I was like,
we know what he's saying, man.
Right? Hey, we know what he's saying. Here's the board. Hey, Thunderbolt Ross, we know what you mean by he's not Steve Rogers. We know exactly
what he's saying.
You're not white.
Yeah. And like,
just remember, you're black.
And I love how Sam, like, he's like, yeah, I know, I'm not. And like, he's right, because like, he's trying to do a different path.
He's a different captain.
Race?
He's a different captain. This is a new captain.
Sorry, yes.
He's a more socially conscious Captain America.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Man, I kind of always liked Falcon, though.
Falcon was great.
Falcon's cool.
And it's great that like he started off as...
Captain Falcon America.
That's what they should be calling this guy. Captain Falcon.
Like, he started off as a guy that like would just like jog around DC, and then Cap would just like lap him. And now he's like on your left, like coming through the portal. Like, the whole progression. Yeah. Like, he's... And then at the end, to get the shield, like to get his seal of approval, was a great opportunity, and like and a great move. And like, just coming into this movie, I just like that they're going in this route of like, you know, not only establishing him, but also establishing the fact that there's adamantium is what they revealed in this. So kind of getting into like what we'll talk about a little bit in Comic-Con.
I like
with the Tiamat, that body. It was really cool to see.
Pretty
that.
Wild. So they introduced that back in Eternals, which was what?
2 years? No, 3 years ago.
Was that post-pandemic?
Yeah, it was 2021. Yeah.
So, wow, that felt longer.
Right?
So 3 years ago.
Been a minute.
Movies were barely back in the theaters at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? We had to watch like some weird 3D version.
Like, no, because the first one didn't work. The projector broke, so they put us in the other one.
They put the wrong movie on. They put Dune on.
Oh, yeah. We're like, cool, but we're not here for Dune.
Good movie, but wrong movie.
I always wanted to stay.
Right? It's a great movie.
Oh, this is a good movie. It's not a bad movie to keep watching. I should have realized when the Warner Brothers logo came up.
But we didn't care. We love Denny Villeneuve here.
Right. No, but so terrible movie, in my opinion. It was
really.
Like
I thought it was good, but not great. That was good, not great. At the end of the day,
you might be just too generous, Cozy. No, I'm kidding, man. I'm not trying to be a dick, but I personally thought it was mediocre as hell.
Yeah,
A lot of unanswered questions at the end too. I have to say.
Okay, they set up like three different side characters, only one of which has any confirmation of any kind of follow-up.
Not even.
Blade.
Kind of. Yeah, I was going to say kind of. Yeah, like not even. Yeah.
Like, they did announce something that Blade was in the works, but from what we've heard, it's not even a sure thing at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So to come, like, 3 years later with this, Tiamat's body was... I can see how it can tick people off,
you got to understand. Yeah. I'm guessing you didn't watch the movie, right?
No.
Eternals?
No.
Okay, so the core concept at the end of the movie, the climax, is that in the center of these worlds of planets, there are these beings called Celestials, which are like kind of big, giant-looking things.
Stone-looking creatures.
Kind of like Galacticus from the comics. Like, I think Galacticus is a Celestial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they're born inside of worlds, and they basically consume the energy of the world. So the end of the Eternals is, the Eternals are like these kind of superheroes that are built by the Celestials to protect.
Like androids built by the Celestials.
Okay. Yeah, to protect the Earth is like an egg for the Celestial, basically. Yeah.
And these monsters called the Deviants are on Earth, and they're like, hey, we don't want them eating everybody on Earth, so we need these Eternals to fight them.
Gotcha.
Right. Okay. Let's get into a lot of details.
Yeah.
But the point is, at the end of the movie, this Celestial starts to be born, which means it's like an egg cracking. So it literally starts coming up from the center of the Earth.
Yeah, it's like
earthquakes, everything. But they manage
end of the world stuff.
They manage to stop it and kill it and stuff. But he still like comes up Like, you still see his face and, like,
hand and stuff
come out from the center of, like, the earth.
The Indian Ocean.
Crack the crust and stuff. This was 4 years ago. Or what?
Three years ago.
And it hasn't been brought up since, except it's in a throwaway gag.
Well,
in
I mean, the did background. The movie flop, though?
In She-Hulk.
The movie did flop. We're talking about world-altering events that just don't get brought up.
At least get a mention.
Also, apparently Thanos' brother was introduced in a post-credit scene as a potential new character. Again, we just haven't heard from him since.
Yeah. Mm.
Thanos' brother. That's not like a minor thing.
Yeah.
They just
throw it into a random post-credit and just haven't brought it back.
Played by Harry Styles. Star Fox.
Yeah, Harry Styles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Star Fox. It's called Star Fox.
Yeah.
Man.
Wrong Star Fox, right?
Yeah, I think during that era of Marvel, they were kind of like spinning a bunch of plates that just were all wobbling.
Seeing which one would stay up.
And we're seeing that a little bit. Definitely that year and the next year with Thor, Love, and Thunder. Yeah. All that, so.
I think good things to take away from this trailer. I like that they are basically just like combining the Shield and Falcon. Like, instead of just, all right, you have the Shield, you're just Captain America. He's just both now.
He's
like,
incorporating it into what he has.
Yeah. I like that. I also don't know who this villain is. I like who he is, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I like the actor,
Giancarlo Esposito. Yeah. Sidewinder. Also coming, a big one coming back from The Incredible Hulk, Tim Blake Nelson. Remember The Incredible Hulk, that guy that got knocked out?
Oh, he was supposed to be the brain dude. What's his name?
He's called The Leader.
The Leader, that's right. That's right.
So he's in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like he's like part of like the collection of villains in this movie. So it's a really cool cast. You know, comes out next year.
Oh, there's a Red Hulk.
There's a Red Hulk. That will be played by Harrison Ford. That's not a spoiler. That's everywhere. That's all.
What
over.
Does the Red Hulk mean?
So in the comics, Thunderbolt Ross underwent like some procedure to get the powers of the Red Hulk. It's a lot of different interpretations of it, but it's because in the comics his daughter Betty dies,
and Liv Tyler.
Yeah, but in the comics, like his daughter dies, and like from those events, he like gets a procedure to become Red Hulk to like fight the world because she dies because of like an event caused by the Hulk and the Avengers.
Got you. Okay.
So I think in this one, we're gonna kind of follow a little bit of that. So seeing Harrison Ford like Hulk out would be really cool to see. I don't know how Anthony Mackie's gonna fight him.
I wish they kept the guy who had the mustache and then just put the mustache on the Hulk.
Okay,
you just imagine Red Hulk with a fucking mustache. Man, that'd been great.
No, I do believe when we see Red Hulk, because even in the drawing in the comics, Red Hulk has a mustache, like Thunderbolt's mustache still stays.
I've seen Hulk with a beard before.
Yeah,
like Green Hulk.
Yes, so Red Hulk has that mustache, kind of like yeah. So you'll definitely
like,
see that.
Like a huge Tom Selleck.
Yes.
Just like a huge red Tom Selleck.
A big red Tom Selleck. No, like, I thought this was a dope trailer.
I did too. I was surprised that, again, another really cool movie coming out of the Captain America side that I thought, going back, was novelty and hokey growing up. So it's cool.
Yeah, but not this one. Yeah, hopefully. This is February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2025.
Oh, man.
Brave New World. Take your date.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
My date will be justice. And America.
My date someday.
How dare you?
American way.
Yeah, man.
I guess, but speaking of Captain America Brave New World, like Comic-Con happened. So I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff. Cool stuff, apparently, just with Hall H, with Marvel. Marvel kind of let a lot of big things drop. We talked about Brave New World, but there's also there was a Thunderbolts teaser. So the Thunderbolts is another movie coming out. And let me make sure I have this down. So remember, Florence Pugh's character Yelena. Remember Black Widow, that movie? Yeah, remember her sister. The blonde one, so she's like part of this team called the Thunderbolts, and like they're, you know, kind of being on that Creature Commando Suicide Squad train. They're also a group of anti-heroes brought together to fight a team, but it's Marvel's version, and it looks awesome. So it has so we have Sebastian Stan, so we have Bucky, he's on this team. We have Ghost, remember the bad guy from Ant-Man and the Wasp, that white. That black girl that with the can phase through stuff, she's in it.
I remember.
Yeah, John Walker, U.S. agent. So in Captain America and in Falcon Winter Soldier, there is a
like the fake Captain America.
A fake Captain, yeah. So he has some serum too. So he's on this team. David Harbour Red Guardian. He's on this team. Olga Kurienko. So she's the Taskmaster from Black Widow. Okay. I love Taskmaster, the character.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Didn't really like how they did Taskmaster in the Black Widow version.
It had a shades of how they did Deadpool in that first
great pull.
X-Men Origins movie.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like, they got it, but they didn't get it.
Yeah, like, yeah, the character's in there, but they kind of ruined what made the character great.
Got you.
In the defense, like, they worked it into the plot of the movie.
Yeah, it did, wasn't satisfying. But it wasn't really great.
Yeah, it wasn't satisfying. But yeah, but she's in that movie from 2020. And a big one, the Sentry, Lewis Pullman. So you remember the president from Independence Day?
Oh yeah, the dad from Casper. That's what I know him from.
So his boy,
yeah.
So his son.
Oh
yeah.
Okay. Has he been
Top Gun Maverick? He's Bob in Top Gun Maverick.
But has he been in the MCU at all?
Sentry, no. This is his debut. So the Sentry, real quick, he is a Superman like.
Is he Marvel Superman?
Yeah, basically. Okay. So like he's about basically quick character history. This guy, he has the power of a million exploding suns, derived from like a special serum. And the guy himself is like kind of like going through it. So he kind of needs a serum to live. So it's kind of a cool like kind of a almost allegory to like drug use, but really heavy stuff. But like
he's a human. He's not an alien.
Yeah, he's just super powered. But he's in this movie. Stephen Yeun apparently at one point was cast as him, but he had to like drop out. So it's a character we haven't seen before in the MCU ever come in there. So like that rounds out the team. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine from Seinfeld, she is playing Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. She is this director of the CIA. I think you would have seen her in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. She was in there. She was in Falcon Winter Soldier. She's like apparently she's the one that bought Avengers Tower. They're speculating based on just footage they showed at Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. We weren't there, but according to the Thunderbolts trailer footage, she's in there. So she's been kind of like playing chess for the past 3 years with like putting herself to have a team like this, and she's like sending them. She's the Amanda Waller of this team.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts comes out May 2nd of next year. So I know we don't have much from it, but what do y'all think of just like the little y'all know about it?
Could be a fun idea. Marvel's on a cold streak, but the Suicide Squad type idea is a hot one for a reason.
Yeah.
Gives you an excuse to put a bunch of characters in.
The team up trope is hot right now.
Team up trope really is hot, and team up with villains makes it even
a little more scandalous.
A little more interesting.
A little sexy.
I will shout out though the people that are writing this, that are working on this, worked on the Netflix series Beef. Which is great. The guy by the name of Lee Sung Jin, he wrote this.
Great series, y'all.
So it's a great series. Another woman that wrote on this, Joanna Kahlo, she worked on BoJack Horseman. So this movie, yes, it's a summer blockbuster action movie, but like I think the people behind it, it's making me really, really excited about this. So yeah, this comes out May 2nd of 2025.
Nice.
All right, Juan. Yeah.
No, let's keep it going, Kosi. I think
going next to it,
we could talk about a Fantastic Four a little bit.
So this one, yeah. Before we get into the big one, this one I can just go into. You know, the Fantastic Four is a superhero team I love. It's my favorite superhero team in all of Marvel. Some of my favorite characters.
Amen, brother.
Doctor Doom is like my favorite villain in all fiction, so it was really cool to get some tangibilization, like to call it, of this movie being made.
You remember when they teased that big four at the beginning of Phase 4?
2020, yeah.
Before 4 years ago. Started.
Yeah,
four so years remember ago. That big. Yeah. How are they gonna take this long and give a shit like She-Hulk?
I just freak out anytime I see Fantastic Four anything.
Yeah. I just
freak out.
That was COVID, and then right after that we had like a whole writer strike. So like, I can understand how like it feels though.
Yeah,
it's
but
been,
it like, felt
like
they did never really plan for Fantastic Four to be in Phase 4.
They definitely
felt like a missed opportunity. Am I the only one?
Yeah, no, you're not the only one. That would I would have
even
sworn
a teaser,
that would've been.
Even a teaser at the end of whatever Phase 4. What was the last phase?
It was the teaser you're talking about was
what was the last movie in Phase 4?
It was the Marvels.
Wasn't it the Marvels?
Well, which teaser are you talking about?
Or was it Wakanda? No, just like it should have been. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. It should have been the one. Okay, okay.
Yeah, that should have teased Fantastic at the very least. And now they're just teasing the movie. It's like, what are y'all doing? And there's still no official X-Men movie.
Yeah, that's one that was kind of left out of the announcements.
Y'all remember that Fantastic Four TV show from the 90s?
Hell yeah.
Oh, the animated one? That was an awesome one. I
love that
one.
There was also...
Where they showed them transforming on the intro song every time?
There was another one in the early 2000s that I watched a lot, too.
TV show?
Yeah.
For Fantastic Four?
No. Yeah. You might be able to find it. It's on Disney Plus, but I watched that growing up as well, and that one had a lot of setting up for classic villains.
Was it done in the style of the Spider-Man?
X-Men show? Evolution. It was done in the style of X-Men Evolution.
Oh, I only know of the 94.
Can we also talk about how Fantastic Four had Chris Evans before he was in the MCU?
Yeah, it was like one of the, Chris Evans, Jessica Alba as Sue Storm, Michael Chiklis as Ben Grimm. I can't even say that guy, Eowyn Griffin. I always mess his name up.
Yeah, he's not like he's been around much.
And freaking Nip Tuck as Doctor Doom, which as a kid I remember I should have been watching Nip Tuck, but I remember saying, oh, it's the guy from Nip Tuck.
From Doctor Doom.
World's Greatest Heroes.
I haven't watched that one. I'm familiar with the one below, the 94 one, if you scroll down with the metal four.
I think that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, but Eric was talking about that top one. Okay.
This one was the early 2000s one that I watched.
Yeah, I never watched that one.
Yeah, this was riding high on X-Men Evolution for sure.
But with this one, this is directed by Matt Shackman. So Matt Shackman did WandaVision, which I think is Disney Plus's best MCU show, and there's been
Loki, but
honestly, yeah, I definitely WandaVision
is excellent.
Yeah, so I definitely love what he did, and it's a period piece. So this, they've kind of finally confirmed that this Fantastic Four takes place in an alternate universe. So this is not the 616. So that's why they show the concept art. This Fantastic Four they're not from our reality.
So it's not tied to the continuity.
Well. I get at the end of the events it will be.
Maybe they should just reset the whole universe at this point, right?
Well, no, I think it's pretty simple. Like I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm pretty sure what they're going to do is kind of bring them into. It's pretty simple,
Eric. You're just going to watch 20 movies.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I think you're right about that. But
I'm just kidding.
No, but I think what they were going to do in this one is because the MCU has no Fantastic Four. I think what they're going to try and do is to say I haven't seen it. But I think they're going to be like, hey, they're going to come from there to us because Galactus is in this movie. And what he does is he destroys worlds and planets and whatnot. That's what he does. So just speculation.
Is it like actual Galacticus? Is that a big gloomy
the
cloud?
The cloud from Bendax, from the no, it's an actual.
From the Jessica Alba. Although Silver Surfer in that movie slapped.
Dude,
that was
the coolest part of that movie.
Yeah. Silver Surfer slapped in that Fantastic Four 2.
But no,
I guess the Cowboy was hot.
He had a cool show in the 90s, too.
Oh, the Silver Surfer?
Yeah.
He'd have a
Silver
show.
Silver Surfer show was really cool.
He'd have a show.
Honestly, just the concept visually is so awesome.
It looks so cool as a kid.
Yeah, like some guy on a. Why is he on a surfboard, though? I guess
who
that's
cares,
what I thought
bro?
Was cool.
He's just surfing through space. It's some of those 90s things people did on LSD and nobody questioned. Do you know how much of our entertainment is due to LSD?
Dude, just Sesame Street. Sesame Street,
Sesame Street also due to LSD.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, how do you not do LSD?
Well, the creators of
Sesame Street.
Well, it is a kid show,
dude. I think whoever drew Ren and Stimpy, definitely whoever drew Ed and Eddie.
I mean,
sure,
all Cartoon
regular
Network.
Show is debatably a kid show, and that was out of LSD.
My God,
we're calling that a kid show.
It's regular on Cartoon show? Network.
It's like
it's on a children's program, so I'm gonna call it a kids show.
Free teens.
It's on a child's program.
It's on level with Adventure Time.
Yeah,
so
man,
yeah.
It's a kid show.
Bro, come on, man.
Just because you watch it doesn't make it less of a kid
show.
Hold on.
But
sidebar here. Side tangent.
What's that show? I just suddenly lost the name.
On adult
Sesame Street. Sesame Street is for like kids, like toddlers.
Yes. The target audience is toddlers. Yeah.
Like, there's a difference.
We ain't talking about toddlers though. We're talking about kids.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. We'll be pedantic.
I'm sorry to take it back to Fantastic Four again.
It is. It is a kid show.
Sorry, you're right. You win, Eric. You win.
But to say
I concede.
So they started filming this week. So what they showed was a sizzle reel. It kind of felt like I was watching like Apollo 13, the movie, or First Man. It'll be a movie about the space, kind of like the space race and being excited to go to space. So it, I definitely got like. Because I think a little bit.
Then they'll go with the space radiation story for the origins.
Oh, they have to. Matt Shackman said we aren't going to see that because they're going to do how they did Spider Man, where they're just not going to. We won't see their origin.
I kind of get it because origin stories are played out.
Yeah. With this one, I kind of wanted to see it because the only one
we always kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
But origin movies are played out.
Yeah. No, you're right. I like the idea. So like, yeah. I definitely got that. There's a funny little scene where, because it's in the 60s, and like there's like a whole little, they're on the set of the show called A Dating Game. Mm-hmm. It's lady's like, hey, who do you pick? He's like, I picked the guy number three. And they go, and it's a silhouette of like Ben Grimm sitting in a chair. So like, you get little like hints of like the show and like kind of what they're going for. I don't know if you've seen the movie called The Right Stuff. The movie about those old guys that got the win. Well, they're old back then, but like again about the space race. So, I'm getting major vibes from that. It looks cool. So, that's the Fantastic Four. Again, not much to show. They showed Galactus at the end, and it's not a cloud. It's like an actual guy.
Does he look like a celestial?
Yeah, he looks like a celestial. He's gonna be played by that guy with the great voice from Game of Thrones. He was the Green Knight. What's his name?
Have y'all actually read any of these comics that have Galacticus? I know y'all are a little more nerdy on that.
Oh no,
I know what he looks like. But that's it.
Yeah,
but can we take a split second?
Yeah.
That's gotta be the stupidest design for a villain, right?
Oh yeah, like the helmet.
I get it's iconic, but oh hey, we're gonna have this dude that eats planets. And he's going to have this goofy-ass helmet.
Burger King helmet on.
Burgundy and yellow color scheme.
It's very Golden Age of comics. Like
look. Very very Jack Kirby-esque. Yeah.
It's very, we did too much LSD and nobody told us.
That's what they were doing when they drew him.
Nobody told us that this looked bad.
Dude, like, Juan, like what you're describing is the whole cosmic era and Marvel, that Jack Kirby, he's a guy that also drew like the Celestials on like the
There's a reason why Marvel resisted putting actual comic accurate costumes in the movies for about 10 years.
Yeah, man, it was too much. It was
they finally relented a little bit with WandaVision, but even then they're like, all right, we're gonna make this leather and we're gonna make this look cool and we're gonna make this look like a modern reimagining of that stupid spandex.
Like in the first X-Men, like they all were in like battle suits that were like,
because you know what, that looks
the black Bryan Singer suits, which
I kind of dig for the time, but
you know what, it worked.
Yeah, it definitely worked for what they were doing.
In was the like, early, late 90s, early 2000s vibe that movies were going for.
Right after the Matrix. Shit worked.
If Wolverine in a yellow shoe that showed up in fucking 98, that would not have played.
Hugh Jackman just in like a big yellow suit.
Jackman in this goofy yellow suit.
Yeah,
they already did his hair up so that he kind of resembled the comic book
version.
That was
the most they would do.
That was a fair concession. He was amazing. That was a great movie. I don't know why you would complain about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I...
Look, they finally figured out how to do it, but there's a reason it took 20 years for us to see that.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true for
us to get used to, for audiences, general audiences that aren't nerds, to like really buy into the fact that, is what they
or
look
even,
like. Yeah.
Like the OG Tobey Maguire spider suit. The eyes didn't move.
Yeah.
There was too many lines, all this stuff.
But it's perfect.
But that's an iconic suit.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's if a they perfect had to put the
suit.
Whole...
It's so iconic, it's in the video games.
Yeah, it's...
Like, even the new video games, you can unlock it.
Yeah. It's what I think of Spider-Man.
The video games are pretty iconic.
Dude, I was flying around Spider-Man 2, and I climbed up to the top of a skyscraper, and they had a huge Fantastic Four spray painted on the top of it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man.
It's a cool tease.
It's a very cool tease.
Yeah, but speaking of which, yeah, that movie Fantastic Four in the MCU comes out next year. So it's a big year.
Next year. That's a big year.
Are they having a movie before Doomsday?
Yes, we'll get into that. So next,
skipping ahead, Eric.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's a
spoiler alert for the next 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a two-punch. So the Anthony and Joe Russo, these guys directed Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame. They're returning to the MCU.
They basically directed all the best MCU.
All the better ones. So those guys are coming back.
To be fair, every other thing they've directed outside of the MCU lately has sucked.
Yeah, it's really, to me, them coming back really does feel like Jordan when he left. 23 Jordan.
Yeah.
23 Jordan came off.
He's done with basketball.
Of a three-peat.
Or with baseball,
He went to go play baseball. Not so good. They had Gray Man. They had Cherry with Tom Holland. No one really responded to that. But I see this as their 4-5. They're about to come back and do not only Doomsday, but also Secret Wars. So in Doomsday 2026.
Is that all they're signed on to do?
Yes, these two. So Doomsday 2026 and Secret Wars 2027 is what they've signed on to do. With Christopher Markus coming back, McFeely will not return due to just illness and just personal matters. But
who was Mick?
So those two guys that wrote Winter Soldier through Infinity War. So one of them isn't coming back, but the other one is coming back. So most of the team is back.
So the team is back.
The Russo guys, they're not. They're just focusing on those two movies.
Yeah, so
they're
far.
Not doing any other Marvel ones.
So far. Yeah. But
they tried to expand out. Didn't take.
Gotcha. The Gray Man wasn't bad. Gray Man wasn't a bad movie.
Was the one with
it had Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans in
it. And Chris. Honestly,
I like that movie.
I got a lot of hate. It was a formulaic movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But Chris Evans played such a good villain in it.
Yeah,
Chris Evans has a lot more range than you. Like, not to say he was a bad Captain America. He was an amazing Captain America, but he has a lot more range than you'd expect coming off. Fantastic Four and Captain America.
He was in Knives Out. That was the first big one.
Knives Out was probably his first villainous role. He was pretty great in that.
Big one.
But he had so much fun and absolutely knocked it out of the park in Gray Man. I just wanted to shout that movie out real quick. Not a great movie, but a fun movie and one you should watch.
But speaking of just people just playing the villain, like the biggest news of the whole evening was our boy Robert Downey Jr.
Say it.
Returning the MCU. But not as Iron Man, but as Doctor Doom in Avengers Doomsday coming 2026. So that was, I remember, like, I think I was at, we were at your house just chilling. You were there too, all the chilling. I remember just telling everybody, hey guys, it felt like we were just like, remember when like Trump almost got JFK'd and we're all like, oh my God, what happened? I kind of felt like that where I was like, is this real? Is it real? Oh wait, no, it's real. And like he's on stage with like it.
See, where the Russos coming back to Marvel feels a little bit like Jordan coming back to the Bulls.
They're in the 4-5 jersey now.
This really feels more like when you sign a guy who's retired to come in.
To attend. And
like to provide some hype.
So like when Jordan came back for the Wizards?
That or...
Okay.
Or when they let Kobe go off for 60 on his like final game and let him shoot 50 times, some shit like that. Where it's just like, you know, you're playing the hits, you're hoping to get the nostalgia. There's no way anybody could really think, like, go out there and all the possible actors, all the possible people in Hollywood, and come to the conclusion. You know what? The best possible person to play Victor Von Doom in a way that gets our movies taken seriously is Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
There's just no way.
I feel like it was a very big hype move, very big hype grab. Because, like, I think I was telling this to one of you, but debatably the coolest part about Doom for me is his mask. It's the most iconic.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know the hood plays a big part. I know that. So here's what I know. I know that they're paying him $80 million for two movies.
$80 million in a private jet.
So they're not going to want to cover up an $80 million face for too long. Like, is he going to be in the Doom mask? Yes. Is he going to be in it for long?
Maybe not. I think he's going to be in one situation where we'll see him for the first two thirds, and then when he gets into this real
plan. But also, I don't even think it's going to be classic Doom mask. I just think it's going to be an Iron Man mask in a Doom hood.
Ooh,
that's a possibility.
Here's my only thing. Robert Downey Jr., I feel like, has... You know, I'm trying to like just be nice and say positive things, which I don't even believe. I'm just trying to be nice. But Robert Downey Jr., has enough cachet, he secured his legacy enough with the recent Oscar, his recent roles, everything. Yeah. Where he's a guy that probably would be fine being behind the mask for two whole movies.
Yeah,
like he's not some guy that's like, wait, y'all, they need to see my face.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that for him. I'm saying for the people who spent the money on him. They're gonna want their audience to see
But the audience will be there anyway.
They're going to have at least one scene, obviously, without the mask.
Because I bet you...
It'd be impossible to not have any scenes without the mask.
Trailer, I'm not saying any scenes.
In the trailers, you'll see his face. You'll know he's
but I am. I am going to go out on a limb and say he's going to be not in the mask more than in the mask.
I'm playing devil's advocate against myself. I could see them putting a big portion of the movie. Frankly, I feel like that's a... I don't know. I know these are superhero movies, right? But we're adults, right? We should try to discuss this intelligently. Like, yes, the mask being on is important and all. But what's important is the movie going to be well written. Is the villain going to be, you know, somebody you like, you love to hate?
Exactly.
Somebody who's, you know, engaging. Somebody who's riveting. Is the threats going to be? You know, the threat going to be real? Is it going to be able to live up to the Thanos hype and what was once the Kang hype? That's the real question.
And this team, though, has never missed. It's like Jordan. It's like he's going to come. I'm hoping they come back for a three-peat again.
The team has, and frankly, RDG has not. Robert Downey Jr. has not. I hate that I said that.
I'm sorry, has not what?
Has not missed.
Yeah, he's not missed.
Missed lately.
And also,
Sherlock, even though Sherlock movies.
That's also the thing, too, is like he. Yeah. Chances are, you know, he is a great actor, he just won an Oscar. Chances are he's probably going to do really well or kill this role.
He'll like convince us. I think he'll convince us.
Now that's going to set a different standard. Like, I kind of see him doing this as what Heath Ledger did to Joker. It's just going to kind of set that standard for Doom now.
Okay, yeah.
To where, like...
Yeah. I also know...
If we're talking about live action, it's not hard to set a standard.
No, like, no offense to Nip Tuck.
But they have kind of been hiring no-names before him.
Yeah.
You know people, what? The Nip Tuck guy did a surprisingly good job.
Toby Kebbell,
he was given.
It was
Toby
just Kebbell, a bad movie.
Toby Kebbell was fantastic.
It wasn't that bad a movie. Am I crazy?
I thought it was kind of a bad movie.
His portrayal was great.
Is that going to have to be our guilty pleasure movie?
It might, man.
I think his portrayal as Doom in 2005 was great. I liked it. But no, I see what you mean. Like, RDJ is the biggest name to play this character. I don't think he's even going to be the Doom that we'll see moving forward, but I think they need a Doom right now to complete the story and to pick the hero of all the phases, it's like some wrestling. It's like some wrestling stuff. Like it's a bold move. It'll get butts in seats. We're already talking about it.
Absolutely.
This movie don't come out for another 2 years. We're already talking about it. People will go see this. And I think this
like 9 times.
Yeah. I don't like it. You know what? I respect the hustle.
I hate that I'm sitting here and I was like playing devil's advocate. This is why you don't play devil's advocate, folks. Now I'm sitting here like low key getting excited about Robert Downey Jr. in the MCU again.
I think it's a dumb idea, but I'm going to go see it.
I honestly think it's a horrifically stupid idea. It's almost an insulting idea.
I think it's pretty
bad. I honestly think it insults our intelligence a little bit.
Well,
I can honestly say right here in this conversation, trying to like, you know, play the other side and stuff, I've gotten myself hyped up to see Robert Downey Jr. in an MCU movie again.
Some people.
I wish I wasn't. I wish I had that self control to be like, no, this is bad. I'm being pandered to. I'm not gonna pay attention to this. But I'm at the point where like, I'm kind of excited to go.
Some people are saying that it makes that Tony Stark death scene worthless now.
I disagree.
No,
all the way because it's. I don't know if that does, but it
is a cheap stunt. But again, it's a cheap stunt that suddenly has my curiosity.
It depends on how they execute it. I'm going to let more.
Yes,
of them
it
cook.
Does.
I'm
it
honestly
does.
Kind I'll of upset at myself. That's always the key, right? It depends on how they execute it.
Yeah.
Listen,
writing,
they
again,
had
like
a
said.
Lot of cool ideas in Phase 4, and almost none of them worked. Right.
What was Phase 4 again?
This last one.
Okay.
I thought She-Hulk was going to smash it out of the park.
That was a thing.
A procedural comedy lawyer show set with superheroes. I thought that was going to be the funniest damn thing. If you ever watch Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
Right.
Ally McBeal.
Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. That's what the show should have been. A funny version of Suits with superheroes. That's what the show needed to be. Or Scrubs with superheroes. And that it wasn't. It had barely any lawyering.
What lawyering was there
was terrible.
It was an unfunny comedy, which is like a big no-no if you're a comedy. At least be
you
funny.
You would think. You know.
I don't mind it, but yeah. But I don't hate it as much, but definitely was disappointing in that. But
it wasn't horrific. It just wasn't good.
Yeah. So I think now to see Marvel kind of pivoting now, they're kind of rolling it back. They're now kind of saying, hey, we're not going to show you like whole slates. We're going to just give y'all what we know, what we're making, what we know is good. So I enjoyed that. So moving forward with this, the whole Robert Downey Jr. situation, even though I don't like it, I'll just let him cook on this. Because the Russos haven't really let me down yet. But yeah, I think definitely we'll be talking about this for the next 2 years.
I feel like it would be cool because obviously this is a multiverse theory thing going with this movie, right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if Pedro Pascal, Mr. Fantastic, met John Krasinski, Mr. Fantastic.
Oh.
That would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of fun.
Right, that would be like a fun little scene.
Honestly,
I'd enjoy that.
I still don't get why they didn't just give the role to
He looks like Reed Richards.
He looks like,
but I also love Pedro Pascal, so I don't care.
Yeah, again, with this whole...
don't care.
With these things, I'm willing to let the...
Look past
it. Is Vanessa Kirby...
She's Sue Storm. Yeah, she's Sue Storm. And
I almost said Miss Incredible.
The kid from Stranger Things.
Joseph Quinn and Evan Moss Baccarat.
Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, Eddie Munson.
Who is the guy who plays Ben Grimm?
So Evan Moss Baccarat. Remember the Bear? He's a brother in the Bear. The Bear's a great show.
It's a great show. Kitchen show.
Yeah, he's the brother of the main character in the
Bear. The guy from Andor.
Andor. Was he in Andor?
The terrorist. Not terrorist. The rebel guy.
I know he was in Daredevil. He was the first of the Charlie Cox Daredevil. He was a sidekick guy. He was the guy in the chair.
Froggy?
Not Frog. Nah.
Guy in the chair.
Right?
Daredevil didn't have
It was Micro. That guy that he talked to. They'll get him like information, Daredevil, in the Netflix Daredevil show.
We'll just have to move.
Maybe
on.
I just don't remember that.
I watched it recently.
Yeah, so I guess you don't remember him. But he was up in that. It's one of those like, he was in MCU earlier, and now he's back again. It's one of those things.
Did you ever watch The Terrible Decisions of Danny Rand?
Oh no! Oh, are you talking about Iron Fist? Yeah, actually, the show was so bad.
The first season, but it was so bad.
The first season, yeah, you're not.
Season two was not much better.
I haven't seen season two, but I remember season the first
two
season
was better, but not much
because that was like a whole. They were gonna build all off of those shows, right?
Punisher, Cage. They did, but then the Defenders was terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Oh, they actually had a movie?
Yeah.
They had a TV show with,
with all of them.
The Avengers type TV show event with Sigourney Weaver as the main bad guy.
You're right.
They wasted Sigourney Weaver.
It came and went.
You know how hard it is to waste Sigourney Weaver?
You gotta try.
Yeah, you really gotta try. You
have
that.
To like go out of your way to make her bored.
You gotta actively work to.
She played a competent 16-year-old girl as an 80-year-old woman.
Yes, and we were convinced.
What was
an alien.
Who was her?
In Way of the Water. That was her.
Avatar, Way of the Water. She was a 16-year-old girl.
And we believed it.
Oh, man, you're right.
Yeah.
She played a blue alien 16-year-old girl.
And we believe
who was Sigourney Weaver?
Who was her character in Defenders?
She was the main bad guy.
Oh, okay. The main person of the main leader of the Hand.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that.
It doesn't matter. It was bad.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah. But looking forward with Marvel, like we're getting all this new stuff. We're getting to know what we're working towards. Doomsday that will lead into Secret Wars with Robert Downey Jr. doing Doctor Doom stuff. It's crazy. It melts the mind. I don't like it, but again, I have no reason to doubt the Russos on this. So
this Secret Wars movie, is this picking up from that Sam Jack show?
No, not at the Secret Invasion. No,
at
no.
This point,
oh, okay. Secret Invasion has nothing to do with it.
No,
Marvel is trying to play coy with it and trying to play dumb with it, but I think they're low key just gonna act like they scrapped Phase 4.
Yeah, which is it's the right call.
I think they're gonna make that Agatha show. They're already making obviously this Captain America that's hard to get rid of. But you know, some of the characters will show up, the Thunderbolts, you're gonna see Yelena, you're gonna see some of the popular characters. Mm-hmm. But stuff that didn't work, don't think we're gonna see the Eternals cast again.
Yeah.
I think we will because of Secret Wars and Doomsday, because of the roster. We won't see an Eternals movie, but we'll see them in other movies. Like Doctor Strange.
There's a chance they at least pop up kind of like Endgame style, where they just showed every hero just because. But the idea that we're going to have an Eternals 2 and have them be a major part of the story.
Yeah, of course not. No, we're going to have them.
Seems far-fetched.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
I could see an Avengers movie where they're like, here's the Eternals popping up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that they're going to be any kind of relevant characters or that they're going to build on some of these if y'all remember when this is a while ago, when Multiverse of Madness came out, Doctor Strange.
That was a good
movie. Charlize Theron is in the MCU now. Same with
yeah, she's here.
Oh, who's the dude from Ted Lasso? Roy Kent.
Yeah, he's Hercules.
Roy Kent is Hercules in this.
We haven't seen him in 2 years.
With Russell Crowe being Zeus. They have all these little side characters they've started putting in, and I guarantee you a good chunk of them, they're just going to be like, whoops, forgot what happened to them. Please don't remind us.
He's just gone now. No.
Who was writing Kang Dynasty?
Well, it's not happening anymore.
Yeah. Oh, so they didn't already have a script?
They scrapped.
They had a script, but they just got rid of it.
Do you know who did the Russo brothers write it?
No, it was not Michael Waldron. It was the guy. I'm sorry. So the guy that wrote Quantumania was going to write Kang Dynasty.
Do you think it would have been good?
Probably not.
Based on Quantumania, probably not.
No.
Quantumania was an extremely disappointing movie.
Yeah.
Because it should have been a 10 out of 10 movie. There was no reason.
It had all the ingredients.
It had everything you needed to be a 10 out of 10, and it wasn't.
Do you think Doomsday is going to be a better movie than Kang Dynasty would
have
been? Hopefully.
Yes. I'm okay with
just
that.
Just because hopefully. Of who's behind it.
I'm okay with that.
You know what? I'm not as definitively optimistic, but I can't. I don't know.
Well,
they were pretty. I was pretty much out of Marvel, even as of like a week ago, and somehow they're starting to pull me back.
But would you doubt 90s Jordan taking the final shot? That's what the Russos are to
me
right
assuming
now.
It's 90s Jordan and not Wizards Jordan.
But just all we're going by is just actual evidence. And what they showed us is a three-peat. So it's like
they showed the three-peat, but which three-peat was it? It's not like that was the first movie ever, right? I'm just saying.
Okay, I see what you mean.
I see where you're coming from, and I see the reasons for optimism. Right, I actually do. I'm not trying to be like a shameless hater.
Yeah,
but I'm also not willing to let Disney off the hook for how much they fucked up.
Mm.
There's certain organizational rot. As somebody who's been part of certain organization, yes, the CEO doesn't decide everything. The up top people don't decide everything, but they have a big influence. At this point, you know, I think it's fair to doubt Kevin Feige. It's fair to doubt his direction and his ideas of where the franchise is going. Yes, obviously, he has the history. He made Marvel what it was. But Phase 4 was a disaster.
What was the last movie Marvel had before Disney acquired him?
Avengers, right?
Before Disney bought Marvel, what was their last movie?
I think it was
2013. Thor: The Dark World would have been the last one before.
I thought they bought when Avengers came out.
That was still a Paramount release.
Okay.
So, do you think if Disney never bought them, we would have had as good a quality of Endgame ending?
No, because
Here's the thing.
I don't think so.
Phase 1 was good for the time. Back when Phase 1 came out, superhero movies were in a serious decline.
Well, there was no standard, yeah. Really?
It was a combination of Dark Knight and Iron Man that really brought superhero movies back to the forefront. Right? A little history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero movies were mostly, you know, formulaic garbage.
Batman Forever, very novelty comic.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
Daredevil. Yeah. Even random stuff, Green Hornet and like Green Lantern. Movie?
But I think you're definitely forgetting a large chunk. During that time, we had the first two X-Men. We had Spider-Man 1 and 2. We had highlights.
But those were early 2000s.
They were definitely early.
We had a good 4 or 5 year gap where there was just
before 2008.
Creatively bankrupt.
There was like,
we're talking about X3, we're talking about Elektra. We're talking about Green Lantern.
Yeah, from 2005 to 2007, it was
pretty
bad.
That weird Superman movie.
Superman Returns.
I can't even remember who the main Superman guy was.
It was
the
Brandon
one guy
Routh.
That no one knows,
Brandon Routh. He's awesome, though. Yeah. Love Brandon Routh.
They had a good Lex Luthor. Who was Lex Luthor?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, he was great.
Kevin Spacey, That was the best part of that movie.
Cal Penn's in that movie, randomly.
Yeah. No, they were very formulaic. It was not must-see at all. And then Iron Man kind of... Dark Knight as well. Dark Knight was a better made movie, but...
One two punch that year.
But Iron Man kind of showed what was possible from a fun perspective.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he could be clever and entertaining and make people laugh.
Faithful to the comic book. Like really have an Iron Man suit. All that stuff.
Exactly.
But once you take away some of the nostalgia, if you go back and watch those movies today... They're not great movies.
Yeah.
Right? They're just formulaic origins movies.
I'd
reset the standard... but then they became the standard, and now, like, you know, it's hard to release a movie like that without...
I'd push back. I think rewatching Iron Man 08 today, it holds up. Watching it, Spider-Man 2002 holds up today. I think
the Raimi Spider-Mans are timeless.
The bad ones, though, don't hold up. Like, Iron Man 2 doesn't hold one, up.
It's solid, but it's not the kind of thing where it's riveting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can agree on that.
Right.
On
even that. The first Captain America, again, it's not a bad movie. It's just not a thing where you, like, you go out of your way to watch
it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Other than for, like, nostalgic reasons, why are you watching this?
You're just going to go back and rewatch all the Avengers.
Yeah.
But then you go back to the Disney, especially Phase 3. It might have spoiled those, but those were rock solid classics.
It was a golden age.
One after another.
Golden age.
We were even like the minor ones, right? Mm-hmm. It was stuff like Guardians. You remember when Guardians came out? We watched that like 2 times together, 3 times together in the theaters.
Yeah, that was great.
I expected that to be a stupid movie.
I had never seen a superhero movie like that in my life.
Yeah,
I expected that in my life.
New template, fresh.
I had no idea who those were. I had already fallen out of favor. I did not watch Dark Thor 2 in theaters. I actually missed out on Winter Soldier in theaters because I assumed Iron Man 2 had been pretty like decent, but Iron Man 3 was bad.
That's very true, because up until that point, people have either made only superheroes that DC fans know and only superheroes that Marvel fans know. But Guardians was the first one where nobody knew.
Only the comic book guy that sold you your comics knew that guy.
Dude, Drew only knew Rocket and Groot because he bought Bazooka Bubblegum back in the day, and they had little Rocket Groot comic strips on the wrapper.
What the hell?
And he's like, I didn't know who that was until years later.
It's such minor characters. Yeah. They were not like heavy.
It's a raccoon in a tree. The fuck? Like,
and then they came out and made an absolutely unbelievable
movie.
Yeah,
we fell in love instantly with
that. That's all due to James Gunn, though. Yeah. He took something that nobody even cared about.
But it wasn't just James Gunn, because we started getting these Civil War movies. Those Ant-Man movies, the first two,
were great.
Well, I wouldn't say they're incredible.
Were those James Gunn movies?
No, they were. It was Peyton Reed.
But they were very excellent. Yeah. Pena, what's his name?
It was Michael Pena.
Michael Pena.
Yeah.
He was hilarious. And I can't believe they didn't have him in the third movie. Same with the guy who did A Late Night with the Devil.
David Dismalchin. He was
David Dismalchin.
Dalmatian.
He was amazing in that Baba Yaga.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a great lineup of movies. And then they've fallen off. They've fallen off. We're hoping they can come back.
Everyone loves a comeback story, though. So, every one of us likes to see people come back and, like, dust himself off. Rise up. I see Marvel trying to do that. It won't be overnight. It'll take a couple years for them to win people over, but it'll take just...
pandering a little
bit. Want this to be good and awesome, but I think it's stupid.
Robert Downey Jr. coming back is definitely pandering a little bit.
I guess it is, but it's like Marvel's damned if they do it.
But you know what? I've gotten excited for it, so... I guess the suckers are pandering too.
I guess that's why it works sometimes. But I think they're pandering. But I think they're doing it because they know they got something good. Is what I'm thinking.
I will say, Robert Downey Jr. is going to kill the role. Whatever you else want to say, Robert Downey Jr. is going to do an incredible job.
I want to know how much they're paying the Russo brothers.
Probably at least $20 million each.
Yeah, they're definitely getting it. They're definitely getting paid.
But you know what? Like, whatever else you can say is pandering everything. Robert Downey Jr. is going to kill that.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be good to watch. I'm going to see it at least 3 times.
All of us will.
Yeah. I love Doom. I love Robert Downey Jr. I would like to see more good Marvel movies. Like, I don't want this to be bad.
Yeah, nobody does.
I don't want this to be bad.
Nobody does. And I think Marvel doesn't either. That's why they got the people that they have behind the scenes to do this. So let's see. We got 2 years.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it until then.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. So... that's enough talk for the Comic-Con section of the day. So real quick, we're going to go into our guilty pleasures. What do we call it? A dirty little cinema?
Dirty little cinema.
Again, not
thanks
porn.
To Eric, that's a great, great name.
It is not right there. Name of a porn scene or establishment.
But yeah, once again, it's a segment where we talk about the movies that we love, but we know that the world hates. So we're just going to kind of do a little rapid fire, going to go around the room. So I'll begin. Hello guys.
You know what, Cozy? Let's kick it off just so we, let's hear your movie. Next time we'll do another one. Maybe we'll do a guest, but let's hear your guilty pleasure and we'll see. We'll see how much we need to shit on you for it.
All right. So going into mine.
What do you think, Gary? We need to shit on it, Cozy.
So going into mine. So my guilty movie, cinema secret of today is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That's why you can't trust Cozy's opinions. You
know? Yeah, yeah. So just like Butters, I also love that movie. I thought it was pretty good. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
They're raping us.
No,
oh, no, guys. That's pretty good.
I do understand, though, if that movie was called, like, John Senior and the MacGuffin of Light, it'll be great, but it's an Indiana Jones movie, so it's not traditionally what you would think of an Indiana Jones movie. A lot of risks that were taken, but I enjoyed it. I was like in what 10th grade when I saw it.
How was Shia LaBeouf? Because
Shia LaBeouf, I'm swinging on branches with monkeys with greaser hairstyles as him, is a sight to behold. Some wonky CG. That really hot lady. She's Eowyn.
Just some random hot lady.
She's in Lord of the Rings. I'm Galadriel. I can't forget. I'm forgetting her name.
Oh, Galadriel. Not Cate Blanchett. No.
Cate Blanchett. She plays a Russian villain. Has a lot of elements like in it, and you know, like Harrison Ford in 08 was getting too old for this shit back in 08, 15 years ago. And I just liked it because of just it was fun. It was weird. That the crystal skull alien thing was a big deal back then. Still is. You know, kind of a crazy idea to have. Like, usually he's fought Nazis, evil Indian people, and Nazis again. And, like, we've been on a really cool trajectory, and now this is the first one where he's fought aliens. And it got weird. At the end, we see an actual flying saucer that jets away into the sky and Crystal Skull. And I'll never forget that. I thought that was weird, but...
Was it weirder than Dial of Destiny?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Kelsey, you're not doing a great job of selling this movie.
Well, no,
Indiana Jones, though.
But no, I'm saying all this to say, even despite all that, I still enjoyed it, and I can also see why people hate that for all the reasons
for the people that didn't get the earlier reference. South Park's review of this movie was to have Steven Spielberg and George Lucas rape. In that, not figuratively, physically, literally rape Indiana Jones in every one of the scenes from this movie. That was
all the movie was in the South Park universe.
That was the entire premise of an entire South Park episode was the kids crying and going to the police and trying to get action taken because they were seeing their friend Indiana Jones get raped violently on screen. George Lucas and Steven Spielberg.
But Butters kind of liked it.
Yes.
Butters kind of liked the movie.
Look, I...
It tells you a lot about Kosa's opinion on this movie.
I don't have as strong opinions as Matt Parker and Trey Stone do. They definitely have stronger opinions about it. I definitely see the flaws in it, but again, they didn't bother me to the point of making a whole episode out of it, which was a hilarious episode, by the way. It's a great episode. It's a
very funny episode.
But yeah, it's not my favorite of the Indiana Jones. I definitely put it kind of...
You know what? This is fitting the label for Dirty Little Cinema.
How so?
I mean... This is the kind of stuff you generally would not admit. Decent company.
Oh no, I'm totally
admitting to like.
I'm totally fine. My viewers knowing what my crazy taste in movies. Also, there's a scene that guy gets eaten by ants. I'm supposed to believe that ants.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was cool, but it's crazy.
Like Scorpion King.
Kind of, yeah. Like, kind of like the ants like picked them up and dragged them down to the ant hole. It's kind of a graphic way to go,
bro. Scorpion King. You remember when Dwayne Johnson was squishing ants with his chin?
Yeah, with his chin. Yeah, there was his chin. Was it ants or scorpions? Was it ants?
I think it was ants. Okay, it was big fire ants.
Those ones were in there. It's a crazy movie. We had a lot of
his buddy saved them. I can't remember, like with like fire or something. That movie was funny.
I think at the time they're trying to angle Shia LaBeouf as the new Indiana Jones. It was kind of weird, but they stopped that.
Like
but
Indiana Jones Jr. The heir to his throne.
But that is my dirty little cinema secret there.
Oh man, are we gonna keep going with each of ours, or are we gonna?
We don't have to. I can just share that with the world, and we
because I got one that I could talk about for a little bit, but I don't know if y'all even remember this movie.
Mine is Rush Hour 3.
Oh, I haven't even seen Rush Hour 3.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Is that the one where they do the blooper at the end where he's like, "Ah, he's not gonna be in Rush Hour 4"?
No, that's Rush Hour 2.
Rush Hour 2.
Rush Hour 3 is where they're in Paris and it has nothing to do with it.
Is it the one where he fights like guys like me? I'm you.
Yeah,
I've seen that freaking clip. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been.
The first two are so good, and Rush Hour 3 is not as good as the two, and people just completely disregard it. But I love Jackie Chan, and I love Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
I like the Shanghai Noon movies as well.
Noon and Night are the better movie. Noon is the better one.
Jackie Chan and a random comedic American was a winning combo.
Man, he's getting old now, dude.
But Jackie
Chan. Old.
He's getting old now.
You watched The Foreigner?
The Foreigner.
Fucking Chinaman.
That was six years ago. But yeah, he was still whooping. Man. So what's yours guilty
pleasure? All right, so my guilty pleasure, and we're going to throw it back a little bit, I guess.
Let's go back.
No, I'm not going to say this, because if I watched it now, it'd be terrible. I was going to say Batman and Robin, because I watched that movie a lot as a kid. No, but I'm going to say...
I had the Tommy Lee Jones Two-Face.
Merlin 98 with Sam Neill.
Great pull. Not to get confused with Dragonheart, which is a different one, but
yes,
Merlin's awesome.
I'm not even sure why that would be confused, but it actually was relevant.
Back then,
there was a lot of medieval kind of magical movies, King Arthur type movies.
And
there
TV
was even
shows.
Like a serious King Arthur movie a couple years later. You remember with Owen Clive?
Yeah, with Clive Owen. Clive Owen, and Keira Knightley's in it. Yeah.
No, but that movie is very cheesy. It's hardcore 90s cheese. If you ever watch Robin Hood, King of Tights with Kevin Costner.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, King of Thieves.
That's what it was.
You were thinking of Men in Tights.
Men in Tights, which is another great movie.
Which is another really solid good
one. Awesome. Yeah, but the title was King of Thieves is the movie I'm talking about with Kevin Costner.
He had a horrible accent in that movie.
Yeah, they talk about Moors repeatedly instead of saying the N-word.
Moor.
Every time they want to say the N-word, they just say Moor instead.
Shut up, Yellowstone.
Both those movies are actually kind of like peas in a pod as far as 90s kind of famous legends from medieval England that were really not particularly good movies. Right, I think Merlin was like a 3.5 hour movie or some shit. It was overly long.
Oh my god!
Surprisingly, one of good actors. Martin Short was in it. Elena Bonham Carter was played as the hot love interest somehow. She was the hot version of another girl, which was not that she's not attractive, but usually she doesn't play the actively hot girl. But still, it's like fun what they do with the magic. They do some weird rules with magic. They have the Lady of the Lake. They have King Arthur kind of being a little bitch. It's a weird take on it. It's a weird, very 90s cheese take on it. Kind of stuff you wouldn't see today. Like, movies are more made seriously. It's like people who have actually studied the era, people who a little more clever, a little more sharp with their writing. And it's fair. Honestly, I'm glad we moved towards that direction. But every once in a while, you get that nostalgia vibe for some absolute, I don't want to say absolute garbage, but some very B-tier movie with some high actors, but not something you would go out of your way to recommend to a friend.
No, I feel you. No, that was definitely how a great way to encapsulate the 90s with
that. I think James Earl Jones was a big mountain, like the guy who had the sword.
That sounds awesome.
Like the sword in the stone was in some mountain guy's fist. It was
that's
weird.
That's dope.
It's a very weird movie.
That sounds very, that's
very
cool.
Very weird movie.
But guys, thanks for indulging with me and my dirty little cinema secrets here, man.
Go take a shower after this.
I will. And you guys too, listeners, take a shower after this. These aren't movies you should
wash your ears out.
Yes. Remember, guys, Cozy vouched for a movie that got Indiana Jones rated.
Yeah, guys, that's me. That's me, Cozy. I'm vouching for it. I'll watch it again. And
watch it by himself, probably.
Yes. again, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Dude.
Wait, we got to do a plug of the week, bro.
Oh, man. We're not going to end right quick.
Not going to end right quick.
Juan, what time is it?
First of all, I want to give a small mea culpa because we messed up our spin of the week. What do you call it? Our one shot. It's because I forgot to watch Zorro. It's on me. I'll take responsibility, our special viewers.
Yeah,
we'll get it for you next week.
Yes, we'll have it for next time.
The early reviews are not good.
Yeah, Juan, you're in for a real treat.
Bro, Zorro is one of my favorite movies ever. So.
I love, the Marco Zorro is awesome.
Yeah, Antonio Banderas is one of the best movies. My best superhero movies.
Anthony Hopkins with long hair.
Anthony Hopkins, yeah.
Anthony
Hopkins played killed that role. He absolutely sold that he was a Spaniard. Yeah. You 100% believe it.
I thought Catherine Zeta Jones was Mexican for 20 years.
You know what?
She lied to me. Oh, gorgeous.
Beautiful.
What am I doing? That's my plug of the week. Mask of Zorro.
Great plug.
I know we basically already gave. First of all, I want to say that Catherine Zeta-Jones, that scene where they cut off her dress and her hair is covering her tits, is really what happened. It's a 90s movie. They were not very feministic back then. But that was the moment I realized I was into women. You know what I mean? That was like clear awakening. Like, oh, this is pleasurable. You know, this is a fun time.
It's a fun time. It's the swashbuckling. Look, it's great. I love that movie.
A good mix of like that kind of 90s era sword, medieval. Mm-hmm.
Swashbuckling.
It's real life Puss in Boots, guys.
Yeah.
Real life Puss
in Boots. Voiced by Puss in Boots.
I mean, Antonio Banderas is Puss in Boots. It's literally Puss in Boots is a parody. Parody of Zorro.
Yeah.
It's literally just Antonio Banderas replaying the role as an animated character. But first Mexican superhero movie, first of all.
He was Batman with a sword. It was awesome.
Absolutely.
Man.
If you can call Batman a superhero, you can absolutely call this guy a superhero. No, I'm not going to dispute this.
No bullshit. I seriously, like, Zorro is a super, not a superhero, but he's a hero of sorts, a vigilante. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not super. He doesn't have actual powers. But
Zorro can get
busy. It's a superhero movie,
Zorro gets busy.
If we can take seriously that Daredevil just being a blind guy can beat up bad guys, we can take seriously that this is also superhero content.
Also, the director of GoldenEye did the Mark of Zorro, Mark Campbell.
There was an interesting comic crossover, Jonah Hex and Zorro, that you should.
That was
really cool. Yeah. That's also very, very Western.
Nice. I guess my plug of the week. So I'm going to plug a podcast I've been listening to a long time. It's called How Did This Get Made? I love the podcast. It's hosted by Paul Scheer, June Diane Rayfield, and
Rafi, right?
And Jason Manzoukas. Yeah. They cover, you know, guilty, dirty little cinema secret movies that we would like, but they cover them and just talk about how they got made, what they thought about it, people's reactions. It's a great show. It kind of shows me a lot of movies I haven't seen yet, and sometimes bad, sometimes like really, really bad. So yeah, it's called How Did This Get Made, and it's on Spotify. So that's my plug of the week.
Nice. Mine will be on Paramount Plus. It's called Mayor of Kingstown with Jeremy Renner. It's another Taylor Sheridan show.
That guy.
Tulsa King, Yellowstone, 1983. It's good. I feel like his issue is he has too many projects. And then, like, as soon as he stops being more hands-on and he gets other writers is when the show starts to taper off. Yeah. But the first two seasons of every show he makes, because he writes the first two seasons, are amazing. And then they just start not being so great. So, but, I mean, watch it. It's Jeremy Renner. This was the project he was doing before he almost died.
Yeah, that thing fell on.
So this was, like, literally pre-broken. Hawkeye. Okay. Very intense. He plays a power broker in a city in Michigan that has the most prisons and the most inmates. And he's keeping peace between the gangs inside and outside. Very good show. Kind of reminds me of like modern day Wire. Okay. So,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. As one final shout out. Shout outs to... to not hitting women like Jonathan Majors.
that's
a great way to not fumble your bag.
You think we have to remind our audience that, Juan?
I would hope so.
Hey, that's a good
show. No, I would hope not, actually. I would hope not. But I just want to say, because he had that... One thing we didn't mention with the whole Comic-Con thing was him coming out and basically crying that he wasn't being given a second chance like Robert Downey Jr.
He was heartbroken.
And I was like, you breaking a woman's finger is slightly different from Robert Downey Jr. ruining his own life with drugs.
Yeah, Disney had to distance themselves immediately and quickly from that. So
maybe apologize for next time.
Yeah, it just sucks. I love his work, but hey, that's...
He's an amazing actor. It honestly is a bummer. But you know what? I feel like we should try to take a stand on that, right? It's not that hard not to hit women.
Oh yeah.
I don't know about y'all. As an adult male, I have never had an occurrence where, like, man, I really gotta break this woman's finger. And it's not something that's happened to me.
I don't
me
think
in my
it
life.
Should be. It's kind, you would hope it's not something you have to, like, remind people of, but no, some horrible people do it enough where you have to just simply just remind yourself that, hey, this isn't good. There's ways to go about this, and
yeah,
I think he definitely ruined his future over, like, something as simple as, like, a quick second decision. I understand there's heat of the moment, but man, I just wish there was just.
I guess you could say his life was ruined in a Majors way.
God, Major way. You almost had it.
But his name is Jonathan Majors,
but
right?
But it's funnier this way, Kosey.
Okay.
It was actually a bad.
You know what? I'll take it. I'll take it.
It was very bad.
I won't defend this.
It was insanely bad. Red lights. Red card. Get out.
And with that, Eric, I thank you. Thank you, brother. Fist bump.
Thank you. Great having y'all. Yes. Great doing another podcast with y'all.
And I want to thank you guys, listeners. You can search us on Spotify under the name It Was Mooney. You can also find us on YouTube under the same name. You can find other videos. We're actually coming out with content coming up, so we're excited about that. So you can find us on YouTube and other places. But once again, I've been Kosey, and I'm joined by
Eric,
and of course Juanie B.
Until next time, guys. Peace.
Adios.